Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين صدق الله العظيم.
Most respected elders, friends, honorable Mu'atakifin, mothers and sisters in Islam, and all the people that are listening to the program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended on the first step of the minbar. He said, Ameen. He took the second step, he said, Ameen. He took the third step, he said, Ameen. Sahaba inquired, O Prophet of Allah, what was that Ameen that you said? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to me and told to me, destruction and disaster be upon that person who gets the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan passes by and he is not forgiven. Upon that I said Ameen. Destruction and disaster be upon that person who gets his both parents in old age, or one of them too, and he does not get himself forgiven through the dua of his parents. Upon that I said, Ameen. And destruction and disaster be upon that person who hears my name and does not send durood and salawat upon me. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains the month of Ramadan. أَوَّلُهُ رَحْمَةٌ أَوْسَتُهُ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَآخِرُهُ عِتْقٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ. The first 10 days of the month of Ramadan, special rahmat and mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala descends. Middle 10 days, special forgiveness. In the first 10 days, within the mercy is also forgiveness, but special forgiveness in the middle 10 days. And the last 10 days, it's a combination of rahmat and maghfirat. And that is freedom, emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. In verse 113 and 114 of Surah Al Imran, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala jolts us to seek forgiveness and ask for Jannah. This is what this night is all about. It's one of the odd nights of the month of Ramadan. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Hasten, run. Don't walk, run, hasten towards the forgiveness of Almighty Allah. And hasten towards Jannah, the breadth of which is equivalent to the skies and the earth. When that is the breadth of Jannah, imagine what the length of Jannah could be. And this is just for our easy understanding. Otherwise, the extent of Jannah is beyond our comprehension. Allah grant every one of us Jannah and Paradise. Allah save us from the fire of Jahannam. And thereafter, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, this Jannah, U'iddat lil muttaqeen. It is prepared for the muttaqeen, for the pious people. People that have Allah consciousness in them. And then in describing the muttaqeen, Allah presents three qualities of the muttaqeen. Alladhina yunfiquna fi sarra'i wa darra'. The first quality of the muttaqeen, pious people, they are those people that spin in favorable conditions, when they have money in the pockets, they spend, and what darra, in adverse conditions, they also spend. Giving sadaqah charity is not only for the rich, it is for every person. Sahaba were, those sahaba that were poor and needy, when they heard about the virtue of sadaqah, they had nothing in their pockets. They used to go out in the day specifically to earn an income, not to fulfill their needs, but through that income they would give sadaqah and charity. And then Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about another two qualities of the muttaqeen. وَالْكَاذِبِينَ الْغَيْزِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. They're those people that drink the anger. And they forgive, they overlook, they tolerate. Brothers, we in the month of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan is a month of spiritual reformation. To change our lives. We can't be stagnant. We can't just be fasting and then the day of Eid comes and immediately after there's no change in our lives. We need to move from one level to another level. We need to change our lives. It's a time for spiritual reformation and to get closer to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. We can't be the same people that we are. We need to rid ourselves from some of our weaknesses and our shortcomings. If a person is physically ill, he's got a nagging headache, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and then sometime he checks his pressure, he notices that it's gone even higher. It's a matter of concern. He will immediately consult a doctor, and the doctor will advise him that what he should do. And if it takes too long, the doctor would say to him, why you didn't come long time ago? The problem has gone too deep. When that is our focus when it comes to physical issues, or medical issues, what about spiritual issues? A physical issue, that will damage your health. But a spiritual issue, it will damage you and it will damage all the people around you. And worse, it will damage our akhirat and our relationship with Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala refers to two qualities of the muttaqeen. They drink the anger. And they forgive, they overlook, and they tolerate. A human being comprises of four components. Fire, sand, water, and air. That's what we are made up of. These four components are in our body. There's fire in us, there's sand in us, there's air in us, and there's water in us. These are the four components. And these four components, they exemplify themselves in some way or the other. Anger is an expression of the fire that's within us. Humility and humbleness, when we're faced with conditions in life, and we become very humble, it's an expression of the sand that is within us. That flexibility that's in a person is an expression of that air in the person, in within us. And sometimes we contain ourselves, it's an expression of the water that is within us. When there's fire, and then you throw water, it contains the fire. So these are the four components, and they express themselves in different ways and different angles in life. Most respected elders and friends, anger is natural. It is the component of a human being and it is natural. It is from something within us. We cannot remove it. And neither is that the objective. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, if a person claims that there's no anger in him, not that he doesn't get angry, there's no anger in him, then that person is a donkey. Only a donkey doesn't get angry. There's no anger in a donkey. In fact, there are many instances in the hadith where Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself got very angry. In one hadith, the extent of the anger of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is explained. One sahabi mentions, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got so angry, كَأَنَّ فُقِعَ عَلَى وَجْهِ الرُّمَّانِ. Pomegranate. When you squeeze it out, you make juice of it, how red it is. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got so angry, it was, his face got so red, it was as though pomegranate juice was put on the cheeks of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To that extent, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got angry. So getting angry is natural, and there's getting angry all at times is not always wrong. Nabi Kareem got angry for reasons of Sharia. In Bukhari Sharif, there's an incident in Kitab al-Iman, Kitab al-Ilm. Mu'adh ibn al-Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this was at that time when it was permissible for a person to perform farz namaz two times or multiple times. So Mu'adh ibn al-Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to read his Isha namaz in Masjid al-Nabawi behind Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he was living in another locality where he was the imam of his masjid. So he went and performed Isha namaz again there. It was a little bit late at night. He started غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ and subhanallah, he started Suratul Baqarah. Alif Lam Mim. Like Tarawi, he carried on. One sahabi came from behind. Whole day he was working. Hard labor. Extremely tired. When a person does hard labor, tired, he went to read short namaz and he wanted to go home. This sahabi started, read namaz behind Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and he noted Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he reading Surah Al-Baqarah or some long surah, he's not going into ruku. When the ruku is going to come? And he's tired. So this sahabi broke his namaz. Somebody told him, you have become a munafiq? How did you break your namaz? He said, I haven't become a munafiq. I will go and relate my incident to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahabi goes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, I do hard labor. I am so tired. I went to read namaz behind Mu'adh ibn Jabal and he started the long surah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith says that the sahaba did not see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so angry as on that day when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got angry. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even mentioned, Inna minkum munassirin. What's happening with you people, you imams? That when you perform your people's salat, you'll create resentment in the hearts of the people. Consider the congregation. There are times when you read long salah, there's also time when you should consider the congregation. فَإِنَّ فِيمَ الزَّعِيفَ السَّقِيمُ الْحَاجَةِ وَالْحَاجَةِ Sometimes there's old people, there's people that in need. Shorten your salah. In another incident, Nabi saw some anger. Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went out in the path of Allah. So he had a combat with an enemy. First, that enemy hit him. So Usama radiallahu ta'ala then charged the enemy again. And when he got control of that enemy went behind the tree, and that enemy probably knew the mas'ala, that if somebody have to say, La ilaha illallah, you can't kill him. So that enemy mentioned, when he went behind the tree, and Usama was about to attack him, because he had control over him, that enemy mentioned, La ilaha illallah. Now, Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he thought to himself that he has just done it as a ploy. He has done it just to protect his life. So Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not withhold, he killed that person. When he comes to Madinatul Munawwara, he told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what has happened? Ya Rasulullah, this person said, La ilaha illallah. He proclaimed the oneness of Allah. He believed in your risalat. He proclaimed your risalat. I still killed him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, أَقَتَلْتَهُ بَعْدًا قَالْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Did you kill him after saying, La ilaha illallah? He said, O Prophet of Allah, he did it as a ploy. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, هَلْ شَقَقْتَ قَلْبَ? هَلْ شَقَقْتَ قَلْبَ? Did you open his heart to see what's inside his heart? See, here too, Nabi sallam got angry. There were instances where Nabi sallam did get angry. On one occasion, a hadith is mentioned, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the house after a journey, and from the door of the house, he saw a curtain with a picture of an animate object. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away and went away from there. He was angry. Hazrat Fatima, or somebody from the household, they had to follow up Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what's the matter? So getting angry, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also got angry. In Islah and Reformation, the object is not to remove the anger. This is a natural instinct, but it's to redirect it. Change its direction, change its cause. Anger itself, it could be good, it could be bad. If a person got a gun, it could be put in good use, it could be put into bad use. If he knows how to use it, it's good, it's useful. But if he does not know how to use it or use it in the wrong place, it could be harmful, it could be detrimental. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he explained there's two types of anger. One is an anger that has noor in it. It has a light in it. That is the anger where a person executes because of deen and shariat, for legitimate cause in sharia. Or sometimes an anger, there's darkness in it. And that is that anger where a person expresses his nafs and his desire. So in the field of Islah and Reformation, the idea is not to remove this natural instinct. It's natural. It's to redirect it. You see an electric cord, electric wire. If it's put in a proper channel, then it will yield positive results. It'll give you light. But that same live wire, if it's put in the wrong place, then obviously it's going to be disastrous. It's going to be detrimental to a person. In the same way, there's anger. It is something to a benefit to a person. It could be a harmful to a person. Allah put that anger in us, that instinct of anger, sometimes to safeguard our interest. We have to safeguard our wives. We have to safeguard our children. We have to safeguard our various interests. You have sometimes, you can be only achieved by expressing your anger. And sometimes you see a violation of sharia, you have to express your anger. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadi." If you see something wrong, change it with your hand first. And if you can't do that, then you speak about it. And you can't, then at least you feel bad about it in your heart. Now, how would you change it with your hand without anger? How is a person who go out in jihad in the path of Allah when he doesn't have anger that the Lord of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala being trampled upon? So the anger, there is good in it, there is bad in it. It is how you use that anger. Sharia tells us to contain ourselves and to use the anger in the right way. And for that, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had mentioned to us many fazail, many virtues, how to contain ourselves and use our anger in the right place. Don't use the anger to fulfill your nafs and your desire. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. Who is a brave person? A brave person is not that person that you can, when you take somebody up in a combat and you're able to somersault him. That's not a brave person. That is physical strength. In Islam, and the value in deen is not more about your physical strength. There is merit for it, but most important is your spiritual strength. That Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, a brave person is that person. You're angry. You're upset. You have the ability to execute your anger, but you contain yourself. You got that strength from within yourself to be able to contain your anger. That is a brave person. This hadith, it is easier narrated than practiced. You need to work on our nafs to be able to practice on this particular hadith. One sahabi, he came to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, "O Prophet of Allah, give me some advice." Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, "La taghzab." Don't get angry. Now, anger is natural, but what Nabi said meant that don't use the anger in the wrong place. Again he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Give me another advice." Again Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, "La taghzab." Don't get angry. Again he asked, Nabi Sallam told him, "Don't get angry." Repeat one advice. The reason to that is that when you get angry, it opens up multiple problems in your life. And if you're able to contain yourself, then you bring about peace and harmony, it brings about solution to many problems of your life. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, "Man kaffa ghadabahu, kaffa Allahu anhu azabahu yawm al-qiyamah." Person will get angry. Sometimes, people around you, your children, your wife, friends, associates, they will say something, conduct themselves in a particular way. By human nature, you are going to flare up. You are going to get angry. But the word that's mentioned in the hadith, kaffa, that you stop yourself, you restrain. You are angry, but you don't execute that anger. You don't follow the dictates of that anger that's within you. If you do that solely for the pleasure of Allah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Allah will withhold azab from you on the day of Qiyamah. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when a person contains himself, He does not get angry. He gets angry, but he doesn't execute his anger. مَلَأَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ أَمْنًا وَإِيمَانًا. Allah will fill his heart with aman, with peace. An angry person doesn't have peace. And a person, the irony is, a person normally gets angry because his peace is taken away. But not realizing the very anger itself, he himself is depriving himself of peace through his anger. And you are fighting, you're getting angry because the peace has been taken away. Meanwhile, you're getting angry and depriving your own self of peace. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned that مَنْ كَذَمَ غَيْظًا وَوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَن يُنَفِّذَهُ. One person is angry and he has the ability to execute that anger. He can clout the person, he can smack the person, he can kick the person, he can tell him a mouthful. You have the ability to do that, but you contain yourself. You don't get angry. Allah is watching all that. The reward for that is, now, you got very angry. It's a very bitter pill to swallow. And indeed, when Allah rewards you equivalent to the sacrifice you made. You swallow something bitter, Allah will give you something sweet on the day of Qiyamah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will call you in front of all the people. And Allah will tell the person, so and so day you got very angry. You contained your anger because of myself. Go in Jannat and pick whichever hoor you want. Most respected elders and friends, when you look at the lives of the Akabirin, I'll just share a few incidents. The lives of the Akabirin, that how they train themselves to contain their anger. Allah grant every one of us tawfiq in there to change our lives, to make islah. And this is a common problem. How often we hear of anger-related issues in our families, in our communities, in societies, especially when it comes to marriage-related issues. And in a Darul Iftah, it is a common thing. Often we get queries on talaq. The husband says, I got so angry that the word of talaq have just come out. Now we are put in a challenging situation to determine whether the anger reached a state of insanity or not. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, somebody made him very, very angry. He contained himself. And after some time, he sent one person. That person who made me angry, he's gone. Go behind him and ask him, is there any way that Abdullah ibn Abbas can help you out? Now put ourselves in that situation. One is to drink your anger, and then the person that angered you, now you go and offer him help and your assistance. That is lofty character. And this you can only do it if you have conviction in the love of Almighty Allah. You do it for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The incidents of Ahnaf ibn Qais is very common and very popular about him containing his anger. He's a tabi, great tabi'i. So, he never used to get angry. He was a person that used to get angry, but he used to contain himself. So many people used to challenge each other that let us see what we can do to get Ahnaf ibn Qais angry. So one occasion, they sent one youngster to Ahnaf ibn Qais. The youngster came to Ahnaf ibn Qais and told to him that, Sheikh, now remember, Ahnaf ibn Qais is a senior alim. His mother must be much more elderly than him. So this youngster come to Ahnaf ibn Qais and tells him, Sheikh, I got one requirement. Youngster, young person, unmarried, probably 17, 18, 20. See, you know what? I got one special request to make. I want to get married to your mother. Now, if it probably is some of us there, we'll give the person two smacks, one boot and send him away. Making a mockery out of me? What do you think about my mother? But look at the attitude of Ahnaf ibn Qais. And it's something for us to learn. People will tell us things that will provoke us. Things that will create anger in us. But how do we relate to those issues? How we contain ourselves? There's no point of getting angry. You're going to worsen the situation. So contain yourself and you navigate your way to a peaceful solution. So Ahnaf ibn Qais, very calm, cool, he told the person, my youngster, I don't mind. If you want to get married to my mother, I don't mind, I can take your proposal to my mother. I don't mind doing it, but I got one advice to give you. See, I see you to be a very young person. And I wish well for you. For a young person like you, you should get married to a young woman that can give you love and care. My mother is too old to give you love and care. See how they handle the situation. And these are things that we should learn. These incidents have been mentioned so that we could use it as an analogy, how we could conduct ourselves. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, one person, for some reason, there was some misunderstanding between him and Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. That person slapped Imam Abu Hanifa. Great alim, renowned person, jurist of the ummah, slapped him. Now, if it was any one of us, for no apparent reason, you get a nice slap from someone, then without thinking, you probably will start off putting your boxing gloves and you probably fight that person back. And you don't know how you floored him the next minute. That is because that's what anger does a person. You don't think. You immediately react on that occasion with that emotion. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi teaches us a lesson. He tells you a person, you know, if I want, I can slap you back. Or, I have recourse to the courts. I'll go to a court and I'll make a complaint against you and then you'll be charged to the court. Or, in the morning, I'll wake up tahajjud time and I'll make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that you oppress me, Allah must avenge that. Or, even on the day of Qiyamah, I'll complain to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala about that. About how you oppress me. Now, somebody slaps someone, you aren't going to get angry. But look at how Imam Abu Hanifa reacts to the situation. He doesn't get angry, he contains himself. Yes, there is a negative feeling, there is pain, but you don't express all the pain all the time. You contain the pain and you look for a peaceful solution. Change a negative situation into a positive situation. If something negative comes to you, you don't have to aggravate the negativity. Don't go deeper into a negative situation. Change the negative situation into a positive situation. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi told him, I'm not going to do all this. But on the day of Qiyamah, if Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala forgive me and Allah tells me that, oh Nu'man, go into Jannah. And if Allah gave me the opportunity to intercede, then I will say, Wallah, I'm interceding on your behalf, on behalf of the person that angered me, slapped me. I will not go into Jannah without you. This is how we learn how to contain our anger. Hazrat Maulana Ismail Shaheed Sahib, great alim, well known among our akabirin, once he was giving a talk in the Jami Masjid of Delhi. Big masjid, and he had a huge following. He was a great orator, thousands of people are listening to him. One person in that congregation stands up. And he told to Maulana Ismail Shaheed Sahib, a very derogative statement. He told him, Maulana, you're giving a bayan here, thousands of people are listening, but I heard that you are an illegitimate person. That's equivalent to swearing a person. You're an illegitimate person. Imagine if that has to be said to any one of us. Probably we'll look for the attorney first and the best advocate and SC and charge the person for defamation of character. That's what we probably would do. Hazrat Maulana Ismail Shaheed Sahib stopped his talk. He didn't get angry. He told the person, brother, I think the information you got is wrong. My mother is alive and when my mother got married in a particular town, the witnesses that were at the time of her nikah, they are there in a particular town. I can direct you to that particular town, go and find out from those witnesses about my mother's nikah, and that she was legitimately married, and I'm born through a legitimate marriage. As simple as that. See how he navigated his way, and what we would have done had we been facing such a situation. Maulana Shabani Thanvi rahmatullahi went to one town, in Jaunpur. There was a huge crowd. He was invited there to give a talk. When he goes up on the stage, he receives a small piece of paper. And in the piece of paper, there were 3 points that were mentioned. The first is that you are a lowly person. Somebody giving a bayan, there's a crowd of thousands of people, and suddenly before commencing your talk, you get a note, a chitti that says, you are a lowly person. Probably if I was that person, weak person, I would say, cancel the bayan, I'm walking out. Second point was mentioned there, that you are a jahil, ignorant person. And third point, you are a kafir. So before commencing the talk, now, you may look at how Maulana, how he addressed the issue. These are statements that make any person angry. There is a negative feeling that come into you, but see how he navigated his way, how he changed the whole situation. Always learn to turn the tables around in your favor. So Maulana mentioned to address the crowd, he said, I received this note, and there's 3 points mentioned. The firstly, the person says, I'm a lowly person. My response to that is this. That, what has this got to do with the talk? Maulana mentioned, what has that got to do with the talk? I didn't come here to get married, because in marriage you look for a high-class person. I didn't come here to get married. So me being a lowly person got nothing to do with the talk. The talk has nothing to do with that statement. Secondly, if you'll think I'm a lowly person, then I'll send you to my town and find out from the people that of my ancestral background. And apparently, Maulana Shafi'i Thani rahmatullah alayhi was from the progeny of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And here the person is saying, think you're a lowly person. That's the answer to the first question. Second one, you are a jahil. You're an ignorant person. Maulana mentioned, forget jahil, I'm ajhal. I'm not just ignorant, I'm very ignorant. And third question, answer third one, you're a kafir. Okay, if you believe I'm a kafir, in front of the whole crowd, I'm reading the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, here am I, am Muslim. These are certain incidents. I just shared just to show how we should be containing our anger. We are faced with these kind of situations all the time. You know, family, friends, associates, brothers, just few prescriptions how we can contain our anger. What should we do to contain our anger? First and foremost, we should understand that Allah didn't make us do, Allah did not obligate us to something that is beyond our ability. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah never obligated us to something that we cannot do. Now, with Allah made it compulsory upon us not to execute our anger in the wrong place, that means we have the ability. We have the salah here for us to contain our anger. Otherwise, Allah won't make it compulsory upon us. So we should understand, and we should internalize the fact that I have the ability to contain the anger. Some people say, I get so angry, I just can't contain myself. Allah won't make you do something that you can't do. It is possible. And a simple example, Hazrat Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Rahimahullah, he gave a beautiful example of this. Anger also got its own intelligence. One person, he's so angry with his wife, he's about to slap her or physically assault her. He's just about to do that, and suddenly the son-in-law sees the father-in-law in front of him. Now the person is so angry, his eyes are bloodshot red, his veins are popping up, about to hit his wife, and the father-in-law is standing there. How suddenly, from that anger, he'll change his whole face into a smile. He'll change his whole tune. That shows that anger got intelligence. You have the ability, not that you don't have the ability. Second way, when a person is angry, don't talk. Contain yourself. Nabi Kareem S.A.W. mentioned the hadith is there in Siyah Sitta, La yaqdi al-qadi wa huwa ghadib. Even a judge, when he's there to listen to a case, there are people, the plaintiff, the defendant, and for some reason the judge listening to think that he's very angry, he's not supposed to issue a decree while it's in a state of anger. Contain yourself, because you are mentally imbalanced. There's a turbulence in you. You can't execute justice through that. So you need to contain yourself. Don't talk. Contain yourself. Keep quiet. You may just say the wrong thing. Third, if you are in a standing posture, sit down. If you're sitting, lie down. If possible, drink some water. Go make wudu. Do something. But don't act on the dictate of anger. Most respected elder and friends, you know, there are certain sicknesses that we have in us. These are like addictions. Somebody got an addiction of smoking? You have to have that himmat and courage to get out of it. Now, some of us, we got the habit of anger. Any small thing happens, you can't contain, you just want to blow it. And you're not going to contain yourself, you're going to turn out to be an addiction. And if you're unmarried, tomorrow you get married. If you're unmarried, maybe your parents are suffering the consequences of your anger. Tomorrow you're a married person, your wife is not going to take it. She'll go away to her mother-in-law's, to her mother's house. Or you're a ustad in a madrasa, and you something happened at home, you're expressing your anger on the children, that's also not jais. Somebody asked Maulana Shafi'i, Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib, do you think you mustn't get angry? So how must we deal with our children? So Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Sahib mentioned, when you're angry at that time, you don't deal with the issue. When your anger cool off, then make your face as though you're angry. Because children are also very sensitive. If you hit them in a state of anger, because of your nafs, that anger won't have effect. Because they can say there's no ikhlas in that anger. You did it to cool your own nafs. You haven't done it to correct them. So at a later stage, contain yourself, and then you do your face as though you're angry, and then now in that anger, that ikhlas, its focus, now it will have the desired effect. So we need to change our lives. We should get out of that addiction. Smoking has an addiction, you make an effort. Drugs has an addiction, you make an effort. For anger also, and for any spiritual weakness, we need to have that himmat and courage. And just in conclusion, for anything to change our life, you need himmat and courage. In the beginning, you need courage. An aeroplane, when it takes off, it has 4 engines. The fuel consumption is higher when it takes off. Why? Because it needs to go on top. And then when it is airborne, then 2 engines are off, fuel consumption is lower. So in the beginning, it requires more fuel consumption. Just like that. That when it comes to our spiritual reformation, in the beginning we require more himmat, more courage, little bit courage. Over a period of time, it will be normalized and it will become the norm. In conclusion, respected elders and friends, what is this anger? Allah, I spoke about the 3 nafs. Nafs-e ammara, nafs-e lawama, nafs-e mutmainna. Ammara, very intense in telling us to do the wrong thing. Very intense. That's what anger is all about. It's an expression of nafs-e ammara. But when you come to a point of realization that no, it's not a good thing, it's causing more danger in my life. I'm trying to use that anger to navigate my way, but it's causing worse problems in my life. Now you reproach yourself, you come to nafs-e lawama. And then when you keep on working on it, you come to a point where you're able to contain your anger. There's internal strength within yourself. Now it is nafs-e mutmainna. You'll feel peaceful within yourself. You'll know how to contain your anger, and you'll change a negative situation into a positive situation. May Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayah to make islah ourselves. This is a month of Ramadan. It's a month to ponder. It's a month to reflect. We shouldn't just be the same normal person, just fast day in, day out, and then the day of Eid comes, and then after a month of Ramadan, we find that we're just the same old person. No change came in our lives. In our life, all the time we should be making a spiritual progress, getting closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah grant all of us tawfiq and hidayat. Brothers, it is one of the odd nights of the month of Ramadan. We'll be making the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And it is through the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah's rahmat comes down, Allah's mercy comes down. The ayat that I've mentioned to you all, hasten towards maghfirat. Ask Allah for jannat. And this, we attain all this maghfirat through the zikr of Allah, turning to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah tells us in the Quran Kareem, wala zikrullahi akbar. The zikr of Allah is the greatest thing. And that's what we want. We want Allah through the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah tells us in the Quran, faskuruni askurkum. We make the zikr of Allah, Allah will remember us. We are here on the earth, we are here in the ground, in Masjid al-Saliheen, in the month of Ramadan, Allah is in the arsh, He will think about us when we think about Allah here. And Allah will take us in His rahmat and mercy. So inshallah we'll be making the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with full heart, soul and mind. Let us make zikr. And I will show the format of zikr, but every one of us will make our own independent zikr behind with each other. Don't follow my zikr. You could just follow that type of zikr, but make your own independent zikr to create your own adat and your own habit of zikr also. Allah grant us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.